Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Check out Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button to get all of our content, our streaming shows. We're going to do a streaming show tomorrow night on the draft, Thursday night. So we're figuring something out right now, but make sure you're checking it out. Also, a great NFL show coming up from Hussam Patel. So make sure you subscribe. Also, fivereasonsports.com. If you want Brady's latest takeaways and breakdowns, that's where you go. You do not need a paywall for that. There is no paywall. Spell that one out. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, including our friends at U-Brake Wheel Fix. They're so successful, they've moved to a bigger facility. It's still in North Miami. You can find it at U-Brake. That's the letter U, brakewheelfix.com, or U-Brake Wheel Fix on Twitter or Instagram. They're the wheel refinish, repair, and custom wheel specialist. They offer the big three of all your car wheel needs. With over 20 years of experience, reach out to Mark. They'll get you a discount down there if you mention Five Reasons. Get those wheels repaired from curb rash, cracks, or bends of the streets of South Florida. And also get the custom wheels. Pretty damn cool with all the custom colors. You can also get a no credit check financing up to, or no credit check financing up to $5,000 for a new set of wheels. So check them out. U-Brake Wheel Fix in North Miami, in the Miami Shores area. Go to ubrakewheelfix.com. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, here's today's floor plan. I've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander, and that's it. Just me and him. We're going to do a quick episode here. We may break in with something else tomorrow as news breaks, if news breaks, coming up until the draft. And of course, Alex, Brady, and I will be at the draft in Miami on Thursday night. So we'll cover everything from down there. So we may do more. And even by the time you listen to this, it's possible things will have changed. So we apologize in advance. We do want to get to the news of the day because we have been talking a little bit about Jerami Grant as a possibility for the Miami Heat. Greg reported, among others, that the Heat were in on him or having conversations with him. And basically, it's not going to happen. He was traded to Portland for what, a 2025 first round pick from Detroit. So basically they absorb him into space out there. And, you know, really with Miami, we were talking Duncan Robinson most likely and others, but let's just get into that and kind of where that leaves them right now.
Yeah. So we, you know, just here at the network had heard that Miami and Detroit were indeed, you know, investigating the Jerami Grant conversations and that kind of thing. And I think what we're seeing with not only this deal, but even the deal that Dallas and Houston made with Christian Wood is that if you have the ability to create immediate flexibility for these teams, they're willing to give up these players that a lot of fans and analysts covet to a great degree for basically nothing. I mean, they're giving them up for future first or late first, essentially. And so I think that maybe the value on Jerami Grant was a bit inflated, but it came with the caveat of you needed the expiring contract so that Detroit got the immediate salary relief. As I understand it, Duncan Robinson obviously was the perfect mix for salary match purposes. But when you explore to try to find a third team that'll take him, or you just don't feel like incentivizing Detroit that much in an effort to get the deal done, you know, they went in another direction. So truthfully, from my perspective, if I'm just going straight fan hat, I'm relieved. I want them to think bigger. I want them to, they finally have some assets. So let's cobble them all together and use them in a big move. So that's kind of my instant reaction. And Jerami Grant's a good player, but I just don't know that, Ethan, like would be the move where we would say, wow, okay, the Heat are at the top of the conference.
And I think we do this all the time when players start getting discussed in rumors, then as soon as you don't get the player, Heat fans start to freak out about it and what the actual plan is. But there were other things at play here too. I mean, we just had PJ Tucker opt out. You've got Caleb Martin's situation here too. You know, I wonder how, you know, the Jeremy Grant trade would have affected PJ Tucker. If that's a player that you want back, I would assume Jeremy Grant would start here. So, you know, and so all of this plays into it. He's a good player. I don't think he's necessarily the defender that people maybe portrayed him to be, or some portrayed him to be. He has a skill set offensively. He kind of wants to be more of a lead scorer. Seems like that's been a priority for him. In Portland, they need a front court scorer. They have for a little while. They need, you know, some kind of a partner to Dame. They obviously don't have CJ there. Obviously, Anthony Simons was a big revelation last year for them. And, you know, they're in kind of a moderate rebuild. I mean, they're trying to put pieces around Dame to keep him, or keep him relatively happy. And Grant is that type of player, and he's young enough to contribute. And he feels in a lot of ways like a Heat player, but I'm with you on this. And again, I'm not going to say every player that the Heat don't get, oh, good, they didn't get him. Because, you know, then everybody's like, well, we're just, you know, sort of, you know, what do they call it? Sunshine pumping. But it's not. I mean, we have to let the whole situation play out. I mean, if they have bigger plans here, or they're going to use Duncan Robinson's contract for something else, then you don't want it being moved in a trade like this necessarily, even if you can say that the player is an upgrade for you. And that's the thing. It's like, is a small upgrade. And look, we talk about, you know, different off seasons, 2005, obviously, you know, they rebuilt the thing around Shaq and Wade. Okay. They could do the same thing around Bam and Jimmy, but I don't feel like it's just like getting Antoine Walker and some other pieces like that this year. They're trying to get like a guy on the level of Jimmy and Bam. Like, I feel like that's where they're at. Tyler is probably the piece that ultimately makes that happen, but we don't know yet. And again, there's contract factors involved. But I'm with you on this, that this is not a huge disappointment. He would be a player who would be nice to have, but nice to haves are not enough necessarily to win a championship. And also, I kind of wonder too, with his slippage defensively, you know, how valuable he would have been down the stretch of games too. And we know that. So, you know, I don't, that's not an upgrade over PJ.
Listen, if the Celtics were leaving PJ open in the corner in the late rounds of the series, and Cooper Moorhead wrote a great piece on MiamiHeat.com about this, they're going to leave Jeremy Grant wide the hell open in that same corner. So the other thing about this, and I know we're going to probably pivot to PJ a bit, but I do wonder if, because the market for him appears to be robust, if Miami is now going to have to bite the bullet and ultimately offer that full non-taxpayer mid-level exception, $10.3 million. That's interesting. I thoughts on that?
It's a lot of love that they'd be showing him. You know, ultimately this becomes a luxury tax issue, I think, but look, I think to a certain degree they learned their lesson with Jay Crowder, and I'm not saying that they should have necessarily gone the extra years with Jay, but it left a hole that they really didn't fill the next season. And I don't think that they want to go that direction either. I mean, you know what PJ provides in that locker room. I don't want to be overly sentimental here, but I mean, he does, they've been trying to get him for years, just like they were trying to get Jay for years. I think they will reward him. I also think there could be a little give on his part. So we'll see on that. But to me, the thing with PJ is the years. It's not really the amount of, and that was sort of the same thing with them with Jay. It's different reasons now, because before it was, they were trying to, you know, stay kind of keep the cap clean for Giannis and all that. But he's a very important player. I mean, during the playoffs, you can make an argument that he was their second most consistent player. And he did that, even though I thought he was overused during the regular season, and he forced them to overuse them. And I think that that needs to change this year, but I'm with you. Like, I don't think we're at the stage in this build where it's just like, okay, one increment. I think they are aiming bigger, and that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to get bigger. I mean, things have to fall into place. I still think the thing needs to happen is that one of these guys needs to say, Miami is the place I want to be. And they are always waiting for that. That's what Jimmy did. That's, you know, whether it's a Beal, whether it's a Levine, whether it's a Mitchell, whether it's a Kyrie, I mean, somebody, you have to push it in the modern NBA. Like, you have to put your own team at a leverage disadvantage. That's basically where it's at. And then they can't necessarily go send you to the place that they can get the best assets, because I'm not necessarily sure that he'd have the best assets. Their assets are better than they were because they were able to unlock those picks now. That was important, but there are other teams that can definitely offer more. All right, when we come back for the break, we'll go through some other things that Greg's got here on a checklist. Again, these things are happening quickly, so we're going to do a quick episode, just get it up, and then kind of go from there. We do want to tell you about a couple of great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. One of them is our betting partner. It's called BetterEdge, BetterEdge.com/5reasons. This is the place that you can find the line that you want. It's also legal, so you don't have to worry about that. But basically, you can go on there and just, and you, first thing, you can socialize with people on there. It's a pretty cool app. Well, it's not an app. It's a web-based product. But what you can do there, first thing, you go to BetterEdge.com/5reasons. You get $20 to play, so there's no risk. But then when you go on there, again, you can decide if you want, say, you like a certain team by a certain number of runs, say an MLB, you find someone on the other side and decide if that's the price that you want to go with. So a lot more flexibility than the other betting sites. And also, like I said, legal, not offshore, legal in 45 states in this country. So go to BetterEdge.com/5reasons. And for all of your fantasy needs, PrizePicks.com, they've already got there. Use the code 5FIVE, you get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You don't have to play it all at once. They've already got the NFL props up there. So if you're not a baseball fan, if you're not really following the Stanley Cup Finals, get in on the NFL stuff early. Get your picks in where maybe you see an advantage that you may not see when this thing comes up in September. So go to Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE. Seen a lot of signups lately, but not a lot of deposits. You actually got to deposit money to win money. So go to Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE. All right, let's get to it, Greg. What else we got?
Just a few housekeeping notes from around the league. It appears as if the Atlanta Hawks are kind of holding up all of the trade talks. They're trying to find John Collins a home. I think reports came from ESPN today that they want to do that before the draft. So I think that that's something to monitor, because he's another one of those bigs, which, you know, you could argue maybe that him and Bam would be an exciting front court pairing, but I don't know how much basketball sense it really makes, particularly if you don't have a really elite guard. But that's just a name to watch as we head towards the draft for all of the fans who catch this show prior to Thursday night's draft. John Collins of Atlanta. The Hawks have a ton of other moves to make. I don't think Miami stays in the first round. The more that I snoop around these prospects that they have brought in, it looks like they're expecting names that they really like to probably go undrafted. So I would be interested to see them likely trade back. It doesn't appear as if any late last minute workouts have happened, except for, I believe his name is, and I'm probably going to butcher this, so I'm trying to go quickly to one of the sites that has it. Is it Nikola Jovic? He is an international player in this draft. A lot of players have looked to, or a lot of fans have looked to see if the Heat would, I did pronounce it correctly, at least from the way I'm looking here. He's from Serbia. Young prospect, obviously. He was in Miami. This is via Instagram posts. I guess he was working out there. So I don't know if that was a precursor to Miami bringing him in, but that would be a guy who potentially could have some first round pedigree that would actually be aligned with the 27th pick in the event that they keep it at the draft party that you are going to be attending with Alex and Brady.
Yeah, we'll be there waiting for Pat, and usually that's kind of fun, because although he may not come out if they don't do anything, we might get Chet or somebody else. No offense to Chet, Adam, or anyone else, but you know, you kind of want Riley at 1 a.m. because you just never know what he's going to say, and that is always a fun event. So I'll stay up past my bedtime, and Brady and Alex are, this is the first time they've done. I've been done so many of these. I remember sitting in the SunTrust building where the Heat used to have their operations in downtown Miami, next to Barry Jackson, as the Heat passed on Michael Redd in the second round. And he and I both looked, well, he's pretty good. Shouldn't they draft him? We saw him at Ohio State. They ended up taking Eddie House instead. And so I've done a lot of these. Some are more eventful than others. I think the most eventful was the Wade one. I'll always remember that, because I walked out to the main court and the fans cheered. And the reason the fans cheered was they knew the name. I didn't know how to spell the name, but they knew the name. He wasn't foreign. They'd seen him in the tournament. And honestly, Dwayne was not really pegged to go that high. Most people had him 9th to Chicago, which is where Kirk Heinrich ended up going. And they reached him. And I remember them being very excited about that one. There have been others not so excited about. I remember Wayne Simeon was not a particularly popular one. Tim James was a very popular choice, but he ended up serving in Iraq. Yeah.
You know, what's a really underrated one, and it's pre-Riley. I don't even know if you were there for this one in the building. I mean,
I was not.
Harold Miner, when he got picked, we thought we had baby Jordan. And obviously, I know that didn't work out so well, but that was one of the nights where I think Heat fans were in the early years really, really happy. I'm showing my age. That probably means we need to end this episode.
We're going
to
end it right now. I know that people are looking for more stuff on Kyrie and other things. We did this on Floor Jours last night. There's really nothing new to report on that. I think my feeling on this is that he ends up staying in Brooklyn. That's my guess. I just don't think KD is going to allow him to leave. KD runs that organization. They will figure something out. Okay. Whether it's on the years or whatever. I that's why I'm not taking it particularly seriously. I would watch the Zach LaVine situation. I just think that one's interesting in Chicago. There's always something that pops up here at the last minute. I know, and I did report this on Off the Floor. We got a lot of new subscribers today, so we appreciate that. We're going to try to put a lot of exclusive content up there. We do post that on our Twitter feed. I'll actually make it our pinned tweet on Five Reason Sports so that people can find it tomorrow. But Kyrie and Jimmy have a very good relationship. I can tell you that. Okay. So, you know, that would not be a problem, but I don't really see Brooklyn punting on him, even with as mercurial and difficult as he is. I just don't think they will. All right. So short episode, look for more. Probably we'll do something before the draft tomorrow. We're not exactly sure what, and then something after the draft. And we'll be telling you more about our fan-sided partnership as we go forward. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.